Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 3, Chapter 27, Text 9 and 10. Text 9 is do not, and text 10 is do, on the same topic. So I'm going to read them together. Sanupande chadehismin.
Sanupande chadehismin.
Akurvan asad agraham. Janina drishta tatvina.
Janina drishta tatvina.
Prakrute purushasya cha.
Prakrute purushasya cha.
Sanubandhe chadehismin.
Sanubandhe chadehismin.
Akurvan asadagraham.
Akurvan asadagraham.
Janina drishta tatvina.
Janina drishta tatvina.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Prakrite purushasya cha.
Sa anubandhe. With bodily relationships. Cha. And. Dehe. Towards the body. Asmin. This. Akurvan. Not doing. Asat agraham. Bodily conception of life. Jnanena. Through knowledge. Drishta. Having seen. Tat dvena. The reality. Prakritehe. Of matter. Purushasya. Of spirit. Cha. And. Translation: one's seeing power should be increased through knowledge of spirit and matter, and one should not unnecessarily identify himself with the body and thus become attracted by bodily relationships. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned souls are eager to identify with the body and consider that the body is myself, and that anything in relation with the body or possessions of the body is mine. In Sanskrit, this is called aham mamata, and it is the root cause of all conditional life. One should see things as the combination of matter and spirit. He should distinguish between the nature of matter and the nature of spirit, and his real identification should be with spirit, not with matter. By this knowledge, one should avoid the false bodily concept of life. Okay, so that's the do not. And now here's the do. Here's how you do the do not effectively. Translation: one should be situated in the transcendental position. That's what we should do. Beyond the stage of material consciousness, and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life. Thus realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. Purport. Consciousness acts in three stages under the material conception of life. When we are awake, consciousness acts in a particular way. When we are asleep, it acts in a different way. And when we are in deep sleep, consciousness acts in still another way. To become Krishna conscious, one has to become transcendental to these three stages of consciousness. our present consciousness should be freed from all perceptions of life other than consciousness of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do you do that? He explains. This is called Duri Bhutanya Darshanaha, which is in text 10. Duri, D-U-R-I, Duri Bhutanya Darshana, which means that when one attains perfect Krishna consciousness, he does not see anything but Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the perfect devotee may see many movable and immovable objects, but in everything he sees that the energy of Krishna is acting. As soon as he remembers the energy of Krishna, immediately remembers Krishna in his personal form. Therefore, in all his observations, he sees Krishna only. In Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is stated that when one's eyes are smeared with love of Krishna, Premanjana Churita, he always sees Krishna, inside and out. This is confirmed here. One should be freed of all other vision, and in that way he is freed from the false egoistic identification and sees himself as the eternal servitor of the Lord. Chakshushe Varkam. Chakshushe Varkam. In the verse, Prabhupada's now explaining it. As we can see the sun, without a doubt, one who is fully developed in Krishna consciousness sees Krishna and his energy. By this vision, one becomes Atma Drik, or self-realized. When the false ego is identifying the body with the self, is removed, actual vision of life is perceivable. The senses, therefore, also become purified. Real service of the Lord begins. We haven't even begun devotional service yet. Not real devotional service. Real devotional service of the Lord begins when the senses are purified. One does not have to stop the activities of the senses. The false ego of identifying with the body has to be removed. That's text 9. Then the senses automatically become purified, and with purified senses, one can actually discharge devotional service. I'll read the verse again. Sanubande chadehi svin akurvanasad agraham jnanina drishtatatvena prakrite purushasya cha. One's seeing power should be increased through knowledge of spirit and matter, and one should not unnecessarily identify himself with the body and thus become attracted by bodily relationships. One should be situated in the transcendental position beyond the stages of material consciousness and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life. Thus, realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapita Mera Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gatamayam Dadati Svam Dadati Kam. This is in the early part of chapter 27, where Kapila Dev, having described material nature, is now describing getting released from material nature through devotional service. He's describing the qualities that one should cultivate and then apply in devotional service. Because he is going to present Samkhya philosophy, this is like a preamble of why. Why is it important when rendering devotional service that we know what's what? Why can't we just do devotional service? And the answer is there's this hard knot of material identification that if we render devotional service carrying material conception, we're not going to advance well on the path of spiritual life. So proper sambandh again, or this distinguishing matter from spirit, is necessary. If it wasn't necessary, Kapila wouldn't teach it, and Prabhupada wouldn't write it, and Krishna wouldn't speak it. It's necessary. It's not the essence of devotional service. The essence of devotional service is the service rendered, but with spiritual conception. With spiritual conception, proper spiritual conception. So, sanubandeja dehesmin akurvan asat agraham jnanina drishtatatvena. That's how Prabhupada begins the purport by translating jnanina drishtatatvena. One's drishta, one's seeing power. Tatvena, seeing reality, should be increased. One's seeing power of reality should be increased by transcendental knowledge. And this transcendental knowledge is making a distinction between the asat agraham, this bodily conception of life, thinking dehesmin, thinking one that I am this body, and sanubandhe, and the relationships of this body with other bodies. That's reality. But jnanena, drishtatatvena, that by the assistance of transcendental knowledge, we should see ourselves and that which is ourselves as spirit soul, not the body, and the body is something, and the relationships of the body is something that we're not, and nor is it ours. Prabhupada's explanation here is this is the root cause of conditional life if one doesn't get it. So it's critical, not optional. And the requirement is not to become a big jnani, a big, you know, a strong empiricist, and that, because that's not going to work. So many instructions are there to be detached from the bodily conception of life, but at the root of our life is false ego. And the covering, gross and subtle, of the soul. And that covering has a tight grip on the consciousness of the conditioned soul. So it's not as simple as just saying, oh, I don't want to play anymore. I quit. I give it up. When you try to give it up and it doesn't go away. Wait a minute, I gave it up. Didn't go away. You try it this way, you try it that way, it's still stuck. So the instruction to not do this and not do that isn't sufficient. It's right, but it's not sufficient. So the process of devotional service is the go-power. It's what carries one into that realm that's beyond material consciousness. So the next verse, one should be situated in the transcendental position beyond the stages of material consciousness. So then Prabhupada details in the purport, material consciousness, awake, sleep, deep sleep, jiva jago. So that's like, you know, from sleep to awake. But transcendental, what's being called for is awake beyond awake. Or go beyond material, that third stage of material consciousness. All stages of material consciousness. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjanas. Similar, not identical, but similar message Krishna is presenting in Bhagavad Gita. Even the Vedic means to go beyond. Many persons don't go beyond. They deploy the Vedas for the purpose of Vishaya. And Trigunya Vishaya, enjoying the three modes of nature. But Krishna's instruction is same as Devahuti's instruction, Nishtraigunya. Go beyond material consciousness. And the medium of, so at least this aspiration, the sankalpa, the intention in rendering devotional service should be to go beyond. And the power to discriminate between what's within and what's beyond material consciousness is assisted by transcendental knowledge. Very nice example of this, there's so many. One very nice example is the King Chitraketu description in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, where King Chitraketu, he's a very virtuous, pious, respectable, religious king. And, you know, all the nice things you can say about such a person. He was well-situated, wealthy, respected by everyone. He was, you know, at the top of the mountain. That place that a lot of people like to get to. He was in charge of a lot of people and had a lot of wealth and had, you know, he was the king. Had a very loving wife. He had everything. He had the affection of his subjects. Except there was a pinprick. He wanted to have a son. There was no son. So he married another wife, another queen. No son. Another one. Three queens. It went up to, I forget what the number is, 10,000 queens. How many? 10 million. Oh. Mind you, he wasn't lusty. He just wanted a son. 10 million? You know, one would think, okay, this Krishna's, it's not intended for me to have a son. Not part of Krishna's plan. Just not part of Krishna's plan. But King Chitraketu wasn't tuned into the Krishna channel. He had I Want a Son channel. It didn't happen. So Angira Muni came to visit King Chitraketu and right away he could understand. Although he has everything, he looks terrible. And the king blurted it out. Oh, great sage, you are this and you are that, and surely you can help me with this problem. I want a son. Please do something. So Angira could understand this person is hopeless. I can't just give him transcendental knowledge because he's stuck. 10 million wives and he doesn't get it. What's my message going to do? So he agreed. Very well. I know this very special yajna, and I can make the arrangement for this yajna. You can have one son. But I'll tell you in advance, the son will both be the cause of great jubilation and great lamentation. Therefore, I'll name him ahead of time, Harsha Shoka. And Angira was thinking, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? Supposing he's bad, he doesn't obey all the things that I say, I can live with that. I want a son. Yes, Angira, please, let's perform this yajna so I can have a son. So the yajna was performed. The child was conceived and born, and he was named Harshashoka. And everybody in the kingdom became happy. King finally has a son. Everyone, except the 9,999,999 co-queens that didn't have a son. We want a son too. And our husband, King Jataketu, he's so absorbed in his child and naturally his queen that produced the child. What is that? What happens next? You know, it's envy. So they began conspiring. And the conspiring resulted in, they poisoned the son while he was asleep. It killed him. Wasn't a very nice thing to do, but that's what they did. So the very jubilant Chitraketu became filled with lamentation. And just as he was crying and crying and crying, just at the right moment, Narada Muni arrived. Very expert Narada Muni, along with his good friend Angira Muni. And in that condition, they imparted transcendental knowledge in detail. In fact, after hearing it the first time, King Chitraketu said, I feel relieved. Describe this more. So they described it more. And then they gave devotional service. Narada said, you weren't ready before. But now, through the assist of transcendental knowledge, just as Lord Kapila is doing with Devahuti, it's his mother. And she's thinking, my husband, Karamuni, he's gone. And you're my son, you're my shelter now, but you're not going to stay here forever. You'll also be gone. What should I do? Ooh, ooh, ooh. So he's giving her transcendental knowledge to prepare her for devotional service so that she can be fixed in seeing Krishna. So Duri Bhutanya Darshana. When one attains perfect Krishna consciousness, he does not see anything but Krishna. That, depending on how one understands what that means, you know, that could be a little difficult. Like, you know, how do you get up and go to your service? Because you don't see anything. You don't see the floor, you don't see the door, you don't see the wall. You don't see the other devotees, you just see Krishna. So here's what Prabhupada expands on that statement. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the perfect devotee may see many movable and immovable objects, but and everything he sees, the energy of Krishna is acting. Now we heard just a couple verses previously that even in inert matter, Krishna is the basic principle. Actually, it was in the prayers by the demigods. This verse that I read on Janmashtami Day. You are the antaryami. You're the active principle within everything, including within matter, because matter is part of everything, and it's one of Krishna's energies. So not only the energy is from Krishna, but Krishna's the active principle within matter. Otherwise, matter doesn't exist. And in this unmanifest state, it appears that matter doesn't exist, although it's just unmanifest. And in its manifest state, it appears to be everything. But it isn't everything. Krishna is everything. And it's a manifest state of one of Krishna's energies. So one who's on the platform of being a perfect devotee, and that's what Kapila Dev is trying to move Devahuti to that position, instruct her or train her or qualify her to become a perfect devotee. Of course, she's already a perfect devotee, otherwise how can she have the personality of Godhead as her son? But anyway, he's teaching in this way. A perfect devotee may see many movable and immovable objects, but in everything he sees that the energy of Krishna is acting. And then as soon as he remembers the energy of Krishna, he immediately remembers Krishna in his personal form. Not just super soul, but in his personal form. According to it, as one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, that not just super soul appears within the heart of the pure devotee, but the pure devotee sees Krishna within his heart. Krishna in his original form, his personal form. Because of his devotion, Krishna shows that form. When we turn our attention away from Krishna, as the Paramatma, the Antaryami, Krishna is manifesting and guiding. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sani Vishtoma Takstmrityar Gyanam Apohanam. So Krishna is giving to the living entity knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. So, on the path of devotion, which we're getting this instruction, this training, we should not see in terms of the body as the self, the false egoistic conception. We should not see that way. Rather, we should see matter and spirit, and we're in the category of spirit, and therefore the body and the relations of the body are not us or mine. And again, because it's so fundamental to material existence, we need to hear it again and again. Then, two other terms. Chakshu-sevarkam. Chakshu-sevarkam. Means seeing the sun with one's own eyes, or as one sees the sun with one's own eyes, one should see the individual soul in the Supreme. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. It's a spiritual seeing, not a material seeing. But Prabhupada's explanation as we see the sun, especially in the summertime, the sun is right in our eyes during Bhagavatam class. Devotees have to keep moving around because the sun is moving. But as the sun is in our eyes, as we can see the sun, one can also see Krishna and his energy, because the energy is not separate from Krishna. If we're Krishna conscious, we know that. And by, as devotion to Krishna increases, we'll be ever increasingly aware of Krishna's presence within even inert objects or animate objects, because Krishna is the active principle within. By this vision one becomes atma-drik, atma-drik, self-realized. And then devotional service begins. We find this statement, just speak briefly on this and then end. It's a little mysterious at times when Prabhupada, and there are verses that speak like this. And then devotional service begins. Like, you know, when you reach the topmost stage, that's when devotional service begins. So what's all that stuff that's before devotional service begins? Are we just like pretending that we're doing devotional service? Ha ha ha, it was a joke, you're not doing devotional service. And then when you're perfect, then devotional service begins. Well, it's not a joke, it's not a trick. It's what devotional service is. What devotional service is when there's no mix. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmaja navratam. But the qualifier for us to be engaged in devotional service is that we follow Rupa Goswami. We just like grab onto his dhoti and hang on. And follow the thing that Rupa Goswami teaches. And we just faithfully, anuga, we follow Rupa Goswami. And by following Rupa Goswami without challenging or enviousness towards the goal where Rupa Goswami is taking us and the means to get us there, we cultivate anushilana. We follow the behaviors of the followers of Rupa Goswami or Rupa Goswami or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We follow them. We cultivate those qualities that go with pure devotional service, and that's considered pure devotional service because it's like the seed stage of something that's manifests in the mature stage as a flower and a fruit. The fruit of love of God awakens if we follow Rupa Goswami, and so even in the practicing stage it's still considered devotional service. But we can also say the fruit is the purpose of the plant or tree. So when the apple tree bears apples, or the peach tree bears peaches, or the bhakti creeper bears love of God, or where there's no other conception, that's the fruit, and that's where devotional service begins. That's the objective. That's the fruit. And the rest is by continuing to follow, by sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, we'll come to that stage. That's our faith, and it's also the immature stage, the developing stage of what devotional service is. So it's also devotional service. In another sense, we're practicing devotional service. It wasn't a trick, provided we cultivate and follow carefully Rupa Goswami. So let's go over here and say somebody doesn't know who Rupa Goswami is. They grew up somewhere and they heard something, and so they're doing something. There are people like that. Lots of people like that. There's not a clear conception of who is Krishna. There's not a clear conception of I'm not this body. There's not a clear conception of what's to be done, what's not to be done. But though I come to the temple on Janmashtami day. And just this is a little sidebar, but a lot of people came to the temple last night thinking that this is Janmashtami. A lot of people. I mean, who did the last arti? No, it was Rishabh. There were about 150 people here in the temple last night, thinking it's Janmashtami. They weren't dressed appropriately for Janmashtami, but they, you know. Anyway, because all of that's gone too. You know, coming before the Lord, and I mean, when I was a kid, you go to church, you dress properly. Probably completely changed now. People go to church wearing, you know, whatever they might wear. It's because they want to go next to the golf course or the tennis court, or they just wear shorts and go to church. Probably that's going on. But anyway, if there's the proper conception of the personality of God, it's not just, you know, the religious formularity, and that's what, you know, Krishna worship is. We're very fortunate. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Kapila's teachings and Prabhupada's wonderful purport, so we can understand what's what and how to execute that. And then devotional service begins. We would like that devotional service that allows us entrance into the eternal devotional service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. That's what the Bhagavatam wants to give us, and our acharyas want to give us. Kapila Dev wants to give to Devamuti. Because without this, we would at best be the same thing and probably be something else. Not even so fortunate to come to the temple on Janmashtami or the day after Janmashtami, because in India the calendar is was yesterday. Thus realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. Chakshushe varkam. Just as one sees the sun in the sky. That clearly. No other conception. So by regular hearing and by applying that which we've heard in the process of executing devotional service, that to become awakened. So I'll end there, see if there's any comments or questions. Yeah?
Can you ask, could you discuss a little bit about the three stages of consciousness?
About which?
The three stages of consciousness.
Three?
Stages of consciousness.
Three stages of consciousness. Okay. We'll go to the bottom. We'll go up. The bottom is the living entity when the cosmic manifestation is withdrawn and the living entities are within the body of Mahavishnu. That's the, there's no, it's susupti, it's deep sleep, Prabhupada has called it, where there's, you're not even dreaming. Not just asleep and dreaming, but there's not even dreaming. Or that same state of consciousness is what anesthesiologists help us experience. So that the surgeons can do their surgery. But consciousness is in such a deep state. It's still there. The soul is there. Consciousness is there as long as the soul is there. But it's in a state where one isn't even aware. I mean, they can have their conversations and you don't hear their conversations. And then there's sleep where you can hear. And you dream. But in that deep sleep, there's not even dreaming. It's just like wound down so much. It's not like, and another thing is it's not like it's buckets Like, you know, you're in this cubicle or that cubicle or the other cubicle. They're stages. So just like somebody is coming from under anesthesia, it's one of the ways that the physicians, they speak to the patient. So then, you know, when the patient finally can respond and they know they're out of that stage into the, you know, they're in an awake state. And if they register pain, then they know they need some more anesthesia. The anesthesia wore off and we haven't finished our surgery yet. And then awake is, you know, what we're doing now. What Prabhupada has said in many different ways at different times, this is day sleeping and that's night sleeping. Where in both cases one is not awake to one's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is covered even by the daytime so-called awake state of consciousness. It's another kind of material consciousness. Is there something specific further that you want to explore?
I just
want to
understand that also in the waking state also the consciousness is...
Material consciousness is covered. Covered, more covered, most covered.
What about Brahma Jyoti?
What about Brahma Jyoti? It's not complete. The awake state is not complete because the acknowledgement of Krishna is not there. But it's like limbo or something. It's neither here nor there. So it's an incomplete. It's a transcendental consciousness because material conceptions are gone, but the mature stage of spiritual conception is not established yet. There are places, like for example, in Rishabhdev's teachings, Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahor Vimuktes, in that verse, Prabhupada speaks about two kinds of transcendentalists, not one kind. Those that are impersonalists are also transcendentalists, in the sense that their material conceptions are gone. But the fullness of their spiritual conception is not yet awakened. But they're transcendentalists. So there is not in this covered state. Or another scriptural reference is Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shavyate. That's in the Advaya realm, or Advaya Tattva. Yes, Chai Jagannath?
The independent nature of
Bhakti. The independent nature of
Bhakti, yeah. It seems that it appears that there is an independence on the government of a certain...
It appears that there's a... Speak a little louder.
It appears that there's independence on a certain level of the government of knowledge for Bhakti to really be grasped properly. I mean, we're discussing...
Well, it appears that way, but it's enriched. In the case of Shukadeva Goswami in the Four Kumaras, for example, they're liberated without teachers. So, it's not a prerequisite for their devotional service. For us, it's part of devotion to hear Krishna's message. And if we don't properly hear Krishna's message, then we're involved in mixed bhakti at best. So it's part of just to remove to decouple the bhakti is independent when a devotee is hearing about Krishna and hearing Krishna's instructions. It's just a part of bhakti. It's shravanam. And part of what Krishna does is he separates material conceptions from spiritual conceptions as part of bhakti. But let's go the other way, where one is not engaged in devotional service, where bhakti has its independence, that realm, but one just hears Samkhya. There's lots of impersonalists. They like Samkhya, so that they can identify themselves with the soul. But what's the outcome of that? Just like, you know, one who reaches the Brahman conception, Aruya Krichchena, Ram Adam Ta Patantyado Nadvara Yushvanambra. It's bhakti is independent of gyan, and gyan is not, it's alone doesn't stand. It's dependent upon bhakti. So when we hear, just one more time, when we hear Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, it's bhakti. It's not cultivation of jnana. Exactly what Kapila is doing with Devahuti. He's giving her devotional service, and it's part of the devotional service package, is transcendental knowledge. And she's ready to receive it. Whereas, like King Chitraketa wasn't ready to receive it. He was too attached. So the loss of the son produced the detachment. Then he could receive transcendental knowledge and then devotional service. But, you know, the sequence could have been different. Nara, you know, upon loss of his son, could have just said, you know, instructed him in devotional service. Like as an example of that is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj certainly had a material conception, big time, and desires that went with that big time conception. But because he was so eager to achieve the shelter of Vishnu and it felt such gratitude towards Narada, that material conception was overcome by the grace of Narada. Yes? How important is?
Dress
code. How important? Well, it's not, on the one hand, it's not the essence of our Krishna consciousness, but on the other hand, it enhances our Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada gave us our standards for that reason, because it enhances our Krishna consciousness. The question was, how important is dress code in Krishna consciousness? No one can argue with, you know, some reason, that sounds reasonable. That's not the essence of our Krishna consciousness, so you can dress however. Or, you know, within degrees of modesty. So then where does that line get drawn? But in the mood of service, I was having this discussion with somebody about a week ago. In the mood of service, if we can do something that, by dressing this way, reminds others of Krishna, why would we not want to do that in the mood of service? And if it in any way can help me, why would I not? And then go the other direction. You know, if we start thinking of dressing other ways, then what happens? The mind starts unavoidably going into fashion. Should I dress this way? Should I dress that way? What about this? You know, so it's like, you know, with hair, it's real simple. It's one style. And as soon as it goes the other direction, it gets into, you know, vanity. Easily, like, boom. So, you know, tradition was either let your hair grow completely or you take it all off. And all off is better because it's cleaner. But, you know, don't get involved in style and fashion. Just once. And even with that, you know, people get into, you know, you see how it goes. The long curls is there as long as their dhoti is. And so on. Best to keep it simple. Okay. Anything else? Anything over here? Okay. Thank you very much. You look forward to your time.